Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Cowboys have yet to sign Dak Prescott to a new deal. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk said that Jerry Jones can make a very compelling pitch to Tom Brady. Florio made the case that the Cowboys could offer Brady the best offensive line and running game he's ever had to play with. The receiving group would also be much better than his current options in New England, and the division wouldn't be any more difficult than the AFC East. Yeah, we know that. Shannon, can you see this happening?
No. And there's no data to suggest that this would happen. Just somebody spitballing. And this guy seems to do a lot of that. I've said this before, and I'll continue to say this. If you evaluate Tom Brady solely on 2019, forget that he's won 6 Super Bowls. He's done that. But at what point in time do we evaluate a player on what he's doing currently? Nobody wants to do that. Well, a few people. Coach Belichick's doing it. Wants to evaluate Tom Brady. Dak Prescott, yes, they were 8-8. But he played better than Tom. Now, you keep, oh, he's going to have a better offensive line. Yeah, but what happens? The last time I saw that, like, the only line I see that give up single-digit sacks was the Marino Lions in the 80s and the 90s, Skip. Then with some season, he got sacked 7 times, 8 times. I don't see that happening in today's game. So what happens? Because Dak got out of harm's way a lot. You know that. You want them to run Dak more with his legs. But this notion that Tom Brady all of a sudden, stop it. Tom Brady, not now, Skip. Maybe when he was 38, 39, okay, I would give you that. But not right now. Dak is the better option. Okay, you get Brady for, let's just say, for a year. Guess what happens? Now you lose that. What you gonna do, Skip? You wanna be, so you want that instant gratification. You know, he wants to satisfy his appetite. See, but most people that I do, I prepare my meals in advance so I don't make bad decisions. Because, see, if you don't got, man, I got to cook. Okay, well, let me go to the store. Let me get this burger. Let me get it. No. I got meal prep. Me and Trifecta got meal prep. Got it set out. So I got chicken, got bison, got turkey, sweet potatoes, brown rice, little broccoli. That's how I do that right there.
You left out the dessert.
I have no dessert. Dana don't do dessert. I haven't had it. When I had dessert.
Somebody is fudging, so to speak.
I feel like I've seen you have pancakes for breakfast.
You see what I'm doing? See, right here is that because you didn't plan. And see, also, we're going to talk about this a little later, Skip. Dak Prescott said, we got that 17th game coming. I know you're going to take it in. That's why I ain't taking no discount. Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to add on some games to give me a discount, but that ain't going to happen. But anyway, Skip Bayless, no.
It's about to be my turn.
I don't see it happening, and it would be a bad decision. Okay. And it's not going to happen.
So I have been preparing my meals for 40 years, which I think is a little before you started. And I love the meal that Mike Florio pre-prepared for Jerry Jones. What do we hear constantly? What's the refrain from Jerry? I'm not getting any younger.
Yes.
He constantly refers to his own mortality, which he embraces to the point that he realizes it's been forever since the 1995 season that they won a Super Bowl. It's a long time. And you always bring up the fact they've won only X playoff games in X years. I don't even care what it is because I try to blank it out of my mind because it hurts too much.
Yeah.
It's just too painful.
When they robbed Detroit, they should take that loss. They should put a loss there because they robbed Detroit. Remember that?
That pass interference? They got robbed at Green Bay.
No, they didn't. They wouldn't even got to Green Bay.
Dez caught it.
They wouldn't even got to Green Bay.
Whatever. So the point is, this is a win-now league. I thought this team was on the verge last year, but for 18,000 different reasons, or maybe 4 different reasons, speaking of
You see what he did? That he done turned on the guy and said, the only reason they didn't make the playoffs or win the Super Bowl was because of number 4.
I can't believe the picture that Florio painted, because he starts out by saying he could envision Jerry finally saying to Dak and his representative, look, we've tried to sign you to a long-term contract. We've offered you umpteen different structures and figures, and you continue to say no.
No!
And you could see Jerry saying, so I want to win a Super Bowl right now, and I want to do it with Tom Brady. I could see it. In fact, I'm ready to embrace the concept if Tom Brady is willing to embrace it, because Jerry can say to Tom, look, we can give you an offensive line unlike you've ever had before. Bingo. We can give you a running back unlike any you've had before. Bingo. And I'm just going to quote Mike Florio. We can give you receivers far better than this revolving door of mediocrity that you're dealing with in New England. Boom. So case closed.
Can Tennessee give him that?
Okay, this is there's Nashville and there's Dallas. And I know this because I wrote a whole book about this. Somehow, Dallas, Texas became the Hollywood of the National Football League. And it's a weird story because Dallas just...
Well, they ain't doing no big moves.
Can I speak, please? Yeah, I mean, you're interrupting like every other sentence. Maybe I will. Do you want to get the mic? You can have the mic. I can't even keep my train of thought here. You're interrupting me every time I...
Yeah. Go ahead. The guy's just spitballing. He's throwing... So where's the factual data?
Can I speak?
Yeah, go ahead.
Seriously. I am not pleased right now. Will you let me talk? You're interrupting everything I say. Are you ready to let me talk?
Go ahead.
I wrote a whole book about this in 1989. You can look it up. It's called God's Coach. And it's about how out of nowhere, out on the plains of Central Texas, it's North Central Texas, this town sprang up out of nowhere for no apparent reason except it was on the cattle trail. Is there any water around Dallas, Texas? No. Help me out. Where is New York City? Oh, it's on an island, right? Manhattan's on an island. Is it on a waterway? Oh, it's on two big waterways, right? Where is Los Angeles? It's on the Pacific. Where is San Francisco? It's on the Pacific. Where is Chicago? It's on the Big Lake, one of the greatest of the Great Lakes. Okay. Where is Dallas? It's nowhere. But out of nowhere, in 1960, came this team with cheerleaders. Oh, nobody had ever had those kind of cheerleaders, right? And what happened? It had a coach who had a religious tie named Tom Landry, and it just swept up the whole Bible Belt, right? And then it used computers before anybody used them. And all of a sudden, everybody's saying, they're way ahead of the curve here. And then they created, Techstrom created uniforms unlike anybody had ever seen before that just caught your eye on TV. Metallic blue. And they got generations of fans hooked just on the uniforms. And then, I don't know how, but they have had a cavalcade of stars come through America's team, unlike any we've ever seen any other team have consistently through their history. So all of a sudden, it's made for Tom Brady, the GOAT of GOATs, to finish his career in Dallas, Texas, to be the quarterback of America's team. And the best point that Florio made was the greatest quarterback in Cowboy history, friend of mine, Roger Staubach, he would willingly say, I will unretire number 12 for the GOAT because that's the one guy he would unretire for. Thank you very much.
You think Tom Brady is thinking all that? That in 1960, this upstart town.
He knows. He grew up with America's team.
Skip,
trust
stop
me.
This. First, Skip, look at, first of all, you know everything resides where, Skip? On the coast. Mm-hmm. So this notion that,
the Hollywood of the NFL. Everybody
There's
knows
no such
Dallas.
Thing. That's a mythical title you just gave that. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
No. Where? I've never seen that.
It's America's team.
I get that, but where does it say it's Hollywood of the NFL?
I did.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my point.
Because everybody believes it's the best soap opera, and it even had its own soap opera called Dallas.
Okay, what about this? What about winning? Mm-hmm. What about winning? Mm. You hadn't won in 25 years.
I just told you it transcends that, which is why it's made for this. What did our man, who's your favorite college quarterback? Tua.
Yeah.
What did he say yesterday? If you're saying to me I can choose the team I want to play for as far as my favorite team growing up, then I'd probably tell you the Cowboys. Wait a second. He's from Hawaii. How did that happen?
Let me ask you a question, Jenny. Ask all the other guys that's going to be in the first round, any drafted player, if they can choose where they want to go.
Cowboys, okay. Cowboys, more Cowboys.
Stop.
Trust me.
They're
going to
be some
fans.
Steelers in there. They're going to be some Broncos. Come on, Skip. Stop this notion.
I got it. I love it.
Skip, and then you can say, well, Tom, you don't want to go to the AFC West because they got Patrick Mahomes. Oh, I guess he doesn't know Tom Brady that well. Tom Brady, the GOAT, is afraid of competition. So he's going to stay out of the West because of competition. Mm. He wants to go to the NFC East because it's the weakest division in football. Really?
Thank you. I didn't bring that point up. That's Florio's point. I'm not sure it's the weakest, but But who wants to go fight with Mahomes over there?
If you're the GOAT, that's what GOATs do. Hold on. Whoa!
He beat him the last two times he played.
No, he didn't. Oh, he's No. Skip, you know what GOATs do? The GOATs, they have this right here. What they do? They fight it out over territory. They fight it out over women. Mm. Boom, ram head. Well, if you that guy, fight with my homeboy. If you said, if he said.
You are scared to death.
Scared of what?
It's going to happen.
It ain't happening.
Because suddenly, they just might be the favorite to win next year's Super Bowl. But they just might be.
I'm going to tell you what.
You know what?
I'm going to tell you what.
I would make them the favorites.
Dak Prescott and Tom Brady knew early on that this 17th game is going to happen sooner or later.
Good.
And I'm not going to play more games and take less money.
Good.
That's what we got.
Okay. Go try to get all your money wherever else you want to get it, and we'll take Brady.
I ain't mad. Go ahead. Brady's not going there, and you're going to mess around and lose that.
Yeah.
That would I'd honestly have.
We'll take Tom Brady for 2 years and take our two shots, and then we'll just close up shop and go home. Yeah, we're
Skip,
good.
Skip, you're not winning. Mm. This notion, I've never seen anything like this before. I've never seen players, media. You're talking about LeBron fanboy, this Tom Boyd fanboy, because they want him to win. So, Virginia, they want this storybook ending. He got to go get Super Bowls and then ride off into the sunset. It's not like he got six is enough. We want to give him the best offensive line, the best receivers, the best running back. Come on.
What are you talking about fanboys? Tom Brady is the most resented and hated star quarterback in the history of this league.
How is he so resented? In the last 4 or 5 years, he's number one in jersey sales. Who the hell hates somebody and buy their jersey, Jenny?
Do media people buy jerseys?
Whoa. Stop that. Stop that notion. Fanboy, Mike Florio. But anyway, Skip Bayless, look. It's not happening. I understand you want your Cowboys to win because you get tired of becoming.
I don't want them to win. I just think they would win if that happened.
You said that with Dak.
Yep.
Now, every year you come up here and say they're going to win with Dak. Now Dak ain't got it done. Now you want to kick him to the curb. I want Dak listening. Well, I want Dak to watch this.
You're getting impatient.
I've just had enough of asking for more than Mahomes is going to get.
Well,
at some point, you have to be somewhat realistic and say, okay, the market is saying I should take this.
When are you going
to
be realistic that the Cowboys are going to
win the Super Bowl again? What have I told you? This team is so powerful, and you can make so much off the field if you're the quarterback of America's team. You have to take hometown discount.
Off the field or on the field?
No mercy.
Two reports, the NFLPA executive committee was split on the proposed CBA presented by the owners, which includes adding a 17th game. In a conference call over the weekend, the Players Association ultimately decided to postpone voting until they meet this week at the NFL Combine. So, Shannon, what does this tell you?
Well, Skip, the narrow vote tells you that just how close, how divided these players are on this topic. And Skip, look, there's a rep for every team, 32 reps. But from those 32 reps, they choose an executive board, which is made up of 11 reps. Mm-hmm. So what you do, Skip, you have basically you're the mouthpiece of your team. Now, I'm sure some of these player reps, they've called around and talked to some guys from other teams to get a sense of, okay, so where are you? What are you thinking? 17th game, what would you like to see? Mm-hmm. Skip, this thing is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. The problem that I have is that the players still bargain for petty privileges. Mm-hmm. Now I've talked to someone very close to this situation. You know the two most important things to the players, Skip? It's not lifetime medical. They mention nothing about no franchise, no transition tag. You know what it is, Skip Bayless? Practice time is smoking weed. Now the NFL owners,
that's true.
Skip, the NFL owners, they got to give the public perception that they care. They really don't care about weed. They're upset that their players get suspended because they know half the U.S. population is smoking. And now these states are making it legal. Mm-hmm. So they're like, hold on, it's legal basically everywhere else, but we can't do it. So now, instead of getting tested like 4 months in advance, now they can only test you 2 weeks in advance before the season. Okay, we got to get that. Now we're going to raise the nanogram, Skip. Instead of 30 nanograms test positive, we're going to jack that up to 150. Skip Bayless, now, there's not a player in the NFL that makes as much money as Roger Goodell. What did Roger Goodell ask the owners for? He asked them for a lifetime private jet and lifetime medical. Here's a guy, Skip, that's never had a pair of cleats on a football field since he's been the commissioner. All he does is walk on the field, and I got no problem. I love commissioner. Talk to him every time I see him. He shows me love, but Skip Bayless.
By the way, the league has boomed under his watch.
Yes. But it's funny. A guy that makes $40, $50 million, he ain't asking to smoke no weed. He ain't asking, hey, I want more time off. He said, give me a jet and lifetime medical. That's a guy that's making $40, $50. But these guys, they want to smoke. They don't want to have practice on OTAs on the weekend, Skip. Come on, let that sink in for a second.
Okay.
This is what the owners knew, Skip. This happened in 87, and I know you covered it back then. The strike. What you had happen is that you had the most prominent players. We don't need to call no names, but you know who they are, Skip. Mm-hmm. They crossed the picket line.
They did.
I'm talking about Hall of Famers. So that left them, and the owner's like,
I covered a Monday night football game between the Redskins and the Cowboys in which all the Cowboys stars walked the picket line.
Wow.
Too Tall, Tony Dorsett, Randy White, they all came back and they played a quote-unquote scab
they
team
lost.
Coached by Joe Gibbs who beat their butts at Texas Stadium.
Skip,
okay? That's what this is. That's what it's coming down to.
Skip, did you know that the owners locked them out in 2011,
yep.
Did you know the players got the biggest share of the revenue? People don't know that, Skip. In the original CBA, before the owners locked them out, the players got 53-47. The owners locked them out, and they take 54-46. And they say, give us a 17th game. And what we'll do now, I don't get too drawn out with this, but let's just say you make $16 million a year. It's prorated because you get a bye week over 17 weeks. Skip, we're going to have a 17th game, and we're going to pay you $250, even though you might make $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. But that's it. With an asterisk, Peter King just came out and says, you can negotiate more pay with your team.
You can.
Skip, you open up a can of worms, aren't you, Skip?
Yep.
Because remember, that's why they got a salary cap. Because they didn't want you to go outside and say, because Jerry spent $300 million to win him or field him a winner, kind of like the old Yankees used to do.
That's interesting.
Skip, I'm surprised in talking to people. Now, Richard Sherman is fighting really hard in the benefits. Instead of 5 years, he said, can we get 10, 15? If we can't get lifetime, can we get 10, 15 years of medical? Can we get some of the things? And he's fighting his tail off. If I'm going to give up another game because player safety, whoo, so much for player safety, Skip. But anyway, that's another day. It's going to happen. It's not if, it's when now.
So, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't enjoy talking about this topic. I'm like a billion other NFL hardcore fans out there. In the end, I just want my football.
Right.
I have had, over the length of my career, a lot of sympathy for the players who always seem to lose their way in negotiations. But in the end, I just want my football. So I despise the notion of a strike or a lockout because it doesn't really do any of us any good, even us sitting right here on this show.
No.
It does not do our quote-unquote product any good at all. I believe most fans watching right now have little to no sympathy for any of what you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're mildly interested in it for the points you made.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in the end, I do care enough about this that on Friday, I expected the executive committee of the NFLPA to dig in and vote 11-0 against the owner's first offer, but the one that they said, we will not renegotiate.
Right.
The owners just dug way in. They just said, here it is. This is what you're going to have to swallow because we're not going to change one cross T or dotted I in this. Here's our first and last proposal.
Correct.
Like it or not. And six of the executive members said, we like it. We'll take it as is. Okay, right now, we'll go.
I thought six said no and five said
yes. Six said no and five, but five.
Correct.
Yes, five said yes.
Correct.
So I didn't really focus on who the 11 were, but there are no big stars on here except I could argue Richard Sherman's a pretty big star, okay? But he's the only one that you would say has star quality.
Right.
So this is kind of rank and file, guys who volunteered their time to be an executive, because a lot of stars are going to say, I don't have time.
I want my time. I ain't got, going to Hawaii is nice, but I want to spend time.
I don't want to do that.
Right. Correct.
So the president and the treasurer are both retired players, Eric Winston and Mark Herzlich, right?
Right.
They're out.
Right.
Okay.
His tenure is coming up because you get 2 years, Skip. He was reelected in 2018.
I got it. And then I'm going to quickly run down the other names. Sam Acho, Lorenzo Alexander.
He just retired.
He made two Pro Bowls, not a big star. Zach Diassi's a great long snapper, made two Pro Bowls, but he's a long snapper. Thomas Morstead made one as a punter. Okay, punter. Russell Okung's pretty good player, but not a big star. I mentioned Richard. And then I saw Michael Thomas, and I thought, Michael Thomas. No, it's not that Michael Thomas.
No.
It's the undrafted free agent safety and special teams player who did make one Pro Bowl as a special teams player. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, and Adam Vinatieri's the greatest kicker ever, but he's still a kicker, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I love Benjamin Watson, everything he stands for. I'm glad he's on this committee, but he's a 39-year-old tight end who's not a star, not a Pro Bowl player, right?
Right.
Won a ring in New England.
I mean, probably the only guy that people know on that roster is Richard Sherman.
Really Richard Sherman.
Okay, so that's what you need to know. That's what you're sort of up against here. It's not the stars voting 6-5 to say no. Right. It was just a bunch of rank
But what
and
they're
file.
Doing, Skip, is that, you know, you go back and, you know, it's like, okay, when we go to, Skip, we go to the board, I mean, we looking at topics, you're like, okay, you like this topic. It's like you bouncing it off to me to see what I have idea what I would like to talk about.
Okay.
Well, when they're voting, they've talked to their team.
Okay.
And they've gotten more, hey, guys, I'm all for this. Because they're looking short-sighted, Skip. But here's the thing. And I was talking to a guy that's very close to this. I said, do these guys know? Now, this deal is going to be for 10 years. Do they realize that 80%, 85% of these guys are going to be out of the league halfway through this, and they're going to be able to smoke weed on their own?
Okay.
And they're going to be able to do whatever they want to do. Do they understand that?
Okay.
But guess what? You're probably going to have some injuries that you're going to need to get fixed.
Yep. So just for balance on this, for perspective, the executive committee of the NBA's Player Association features Chris Paul, Iguodala, Kyrie. So superstar.
Skip, you remember LeBron used to be the VP.
He did. Okay. That's the difference. Player-run league, owner-run league.
That would have
right?
been the equivalent of, say, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning saying, I want to be president of VP.
Correct.
Or the Players Association.
Okay. So this is just me. If I were a player and a superstar, I would want to go to war, so to speak, go to battle anyway, over a hard salary cap. I would want to try to get it dismissed.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the essence, because don't cry poor to me anymore.
Right. Thank you.
But you got a hard cap that you always vote in.
Right.
You re-vote it and re-vote it. And then you say, we don't make enough. Well, okay, that's on you.
Get rid of the franchise tag. Skip, how can there be free agency if I can tag you and I can't go chest to market? I mean, if you're in a normal workplace, Jenny.
You would be able to.
You can't. You know, look, I love my job. I ain't trying to go nowhere. But Fox can't tag me at the end of my contract and say, Skip, I want you to stay.
No. Okay.
I mean, come on, guys, and get that minimum up. Say, okay, y'all want minimum salary is $2 million.
Okay.
It's interesting that you listed everyone, because I didn't really realize who was a part of these decisions.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
And five of those guys said, we love it.
Yeah.
We'll rubber stamp it right here, right now. Let's go forward.
Because the owner said, we're not doing anything else.
Yeah.
So, Skip, you know, you kind of get nervous. When they say that, if we don't take it now, they say nothing.
I know. I got it.
D. Smith, the head of the NFLPA, said, look, he told 3 years ago, start saving your money, because we preparing to do this. And now we were a year to go handling this.
All right. Well, both sides continue to discuss at the Combine. That is the latest. And we'll keep you posted. We'll learn more.
No mercy.
Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder both had unique entrances to the ring on Saturday night, but the advantage, once the bell rang, was all Fury's. Wilder was knocked down twice, once in the third and once in the fifth round. Wilder was able to extend the fight to the seventh round, but Fury was too much in Wilder's corner, threw in the towel, giving Fury the win by technical knockout. Fox Sports NBA analyst and huge boxing fan Chris Broussard with us now. Good to have you on this one.
Great to be on.
How surprised were you by the outcome?
Well, I picked Wilder in a 10th round TKO. So, obviously, I thought he'd win. I was surprised he lost. I would not have been surprised if Fury had won in a decision.
Because
it was a close 50-50. A lot of people were saying it's a 50-50 fight. I wouldn't have been surprised at all if he just outboxed him for 12 rounds.
Right.
But for him to march forward the way he did and knock him out, that surprised me. He was saying he was going to do it, you know, in the preview to the fight. And I thought he was just talking noise.
Selling the fight.
Right, right. And I thought he may be trying to throw Wilder off. Mm-hmm. But here's something I have said since Wilder's become champion and, you know, been this prominent fighter. And this is why, despite his all-time high knockout percentage, despite his record, no one really has ever put him in the class of Tyson, Ali, Foreman, Frazier, Rocky Marciano, any of the really great heavyweights. Because the fact is, he can't box. He cannot box. He has this.
Right.
That's his fight against Luis Ortiz recently. He was getting shut out every round, and he knocked him out.
Made one mistake.
Right. And so what Fury did that was so great, when he took the fight to Wilder, and he had Wilder backing up. Like, even round one, I was watching the fight with some guys, and we're like, the body language on Wilder's not good because he's backing up all of a sudden. He's never
Nobody's made him do that.
Right. Huh. And he lunges when he throws the right. He steps forward with his left and then lunges. You can't do that if you're backing up. And he once he took Fury took that away from him, he had no answer.
No.
He doesn't jab with as a weapon. He does it to measure so I can get the right.
Right.
He can't dance. I was even saying, and maybe the equilibrium was just off, but once after the third round, he looked out on his feet. Yep. I was saying run, just move until you can get your wits about you, or hold till you get your wits about you. And he didn't really even know how to do that. Look, he showed a lot of heart. He showed tremendous heart because he looked punch drunk for the last four rounds.
Yep.
But I'll say this finally. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think he can bounce back.
Wow.
I think the best chance he has to bounce back.
You don't think he can bounce back against Fury or bounce back
Fury? I definitely don't think he can beat Fury. I think his best chance of bouncing back is to fight Joshua and maybe beat him. But here, you know, when you're the bully and then you get bullied, and we've seen it. George Foreman. It took a religious conversion and 15 years of preaching.
And the George Foreman grill.
Right, to become what he became. And he was a whole different person at that point. Tyson was never quite the same. Because you're not the same in your own mind, nor do you have that intimidation factor of his opponents. And even Roy Jones Jr., who wasn't a bully, but he was dominant.
Yeah.
Once he got beat, he was never the same.
Gotti.
I just, mentally, it's going to be so hard for him to bounce back. I don't think he could beat Fury. I definitely don't think he could beat Fury, but I think he's going to have trouble in general.
So, going back in history, this is what hit me very late on Saturday night. I picked Wilder in a second round knockout because I thought after Tyson Fury had all week predicted, I'm going to knock him out in the second round, that he would get a little careless and be vulnerable to the one punch that Deontay did have. And that punch, you could argue, is about as lethal as any punch we've seen in the history of boxing is that right hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever seen a more savage right than that one. And all it takes is one, as you know, and that big tree's going to topple. But you have to catch him flush, and he wasn't able to catch him flush with it. So where my head went back to was a fight that I wrote about and that I watched. I didn't go to it, but I just watched it here. That was the Rumble in the Jungle. Mm-hmm. I haven't been more shocked by the strategy and the unfolding of a fight than I have since I sat watching Ali do something that I thought was impossible to the beast who was George Foreman. And remember, in those days, George Foreman weighed 250 pounds. He didn't weigh 273, and I thought that was beyond massive. And Ali weighed 220 for that fight, so he was giving up 30 pounds.
But he had gained weight to fight that fight because he normally weighed like 205.
I totally agree, but I did not see rope-a-dope coming because I don't think his corner saw rope-a-dope coming. No. He didn't tell anybody.
No.
And he goes and lays against the ropes and he had worked on his core all through his camp. And he just put his gloves up and he just said, "Is that all you got, champ? Is that all you got?" And he just kept trying to chop wood until he just chopped himself down.
And he whispered and said, "George, that's all you got?
That's all you got?"
Yep. Now it's my turn.
And finally, in the eighth round, it was Tim Burr and he knocked him out. And I just fell back in I just said, I've never seen anything like that until Saturday night.
Wow. Yep.
People were afraid Ali might get seriously hurt.
I thought he was going to get hurt. Fight,
right.
His corner was Bundini Brown and all of them. Yeah. Boy, they were and obviously.
Because they had skill. They had saw what he did to Frazier.
Yeah.
How many times did he put Frazier down? Frazier walking in there. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
So we talked about it early last week. It looked like Tyson Fury in the final 2 minutes of the first fight fell into this out of desperation when he rose like Lazarus from the dead. I thought he was knocked out.
Yep.
I thought the count started a little late and gave him a couple of extra seconds. And then he resuscitated, and out of desperation, he went into attack mode.
But Skip, when you get hit with a shot like that, don't matter when you count. They're supposed to wake you up. He hits anybody else flush with that shot and then catches them with the hook.
Yeah.
They're waking you up. You're not getting up.
But he got up.
He got
up. To his credit.
He did.
And then he seemed 1,000% okay.
Right.
And he goes on the attack and you could see his head like, wait a second, this works.
Yep.
So he fires his trainer, unheard of,
And who had been with him for umpteenth years.
Yep. Wow. And he goes to the nephew of Emmanuel Stewart, the late, great Emmanuel, who I loved. And he goes Kronk, all in, all offense. And he comes right back out and says in Las Vegas all week, this is exactly what I'm going to do to him. I'm going to attack him in the first round, and I'm going to do damage. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to knock him out in the second. And he rides in on a throne because he thought, I got this. Yeah. Yep. I mean, he truly
He got no belts, and he coming in on the throne with a king.
I'm going on a throne.
I know. You know? It's casual.
And then unbelievable. He executed the exact game plan that he predicted all week. And to your point, he was so much bigger and heavier and just overall brawnier, stronger, that he overwhelmed Wilder. But this is the final point I'll make, and I'll hand it back to you, is that I fixated on the weight gain of Tyson Fury to go all the way up 16 pounds to 273. And I thought, can he carry that for maybe 12 rounds? No, he'll wear out and wear down, right? But I missed the fact, wait a second, Wilder gained 19 pounds? He's actually a skinny guy with a sinewy frame.
Yes.
He's all quick twitchy, you know. And if you put 20 extra pounds on 6'7", and try to get him ready for this fight, and he said something after the fight, my leg was already weak coming in. I don't know. He said, I'm not trying to make an excuse, but he was making an excuse.
Yeah, I didn't like
that.
Okay,
all right, well, whatever. But did he put on too much weight too fast?
I thought so, Skip, because when you look at it, Skip, he'd been knocking people out at 212. So why, it wasn't like, well, you know, I need to get a little more pop because I can't. But you put the guy down twice at 212. You've basically been fighting around 212, 215-ish, basically your entire career. And now all of a sudden, in the biggest fight of your career, you move up 19 pounds. So maybe he's sluggish. You got a 200, and I believe once he refueled, Tyson Fury probably walked in the ring at 285, maybe 290.
He might have.
He was huge. Yep. And he was leaning on him.
Yeah. You know? So if I'm tired, if I'm already tired, and you coach used to tell us, say, son, the only way you can ride an elephant, he gotta bend over. You gotta jump up on his back. So he's already tired, you bending over, and now you got a 280-pound man leaning on top of you. You can't carry your weight and his weight.
But did you ever think in a boxing ring you'd see a 285-pounder in that good a shape?
No.
With that kind of agility and skill.
The way he's a
great boxer.
He got feet. He should be playing left tackle. He should be playing in the NFL. Because he has a man that size. He's 6'9", 273, which is the second heaviest. I think Primo Canary was heavy, but they fixed that fight.
What was the Russians? And there's another 330 pounds.
I forgot about him. Bolivar.
Yeah,
the big guy. He's like 7'1". Oh. But that he doesn't count, Skip. But for me, and I think the surprise is, we all picked Deontay Wilder to win. It wasn't that Fury won; it's how he won.
How?
Right.
I'm shocked that he walked to a man, because that's what Buster Douglas did to Tyson.
Yep.
He walked to him. It's because everybody else backed down. Well, he's a puncher. He's a fighter. He's not a boxer. Right. If you let a fighter walk to you, and he can get off, but it's hard to throw punches when you're backing up, Skip.
Right.
And the big guy said, I'm going to do this to him. And I thought he was just saying, oh, you're just trying to sell the fight. Bro, I'm about to fight. You ain't got a lot of meat. I know you're going to dance. No, he didn't dance.
All right, so final quick thought. This is just me, and I accept boxing for the brutal sport that it is, but to your point, what a warrior he was, and he said, I wanted to go out on my shield, and I don't want to see anybody get hurt or certainly killed. I just thought he deserved the rest of that round to see if he could muster up one shot to get back in the fight. That's just me, because he never seemed to get hurt by one punch. It was the onslaught that was just beating him all up.
It seems like they talked about the eardrum being ruptured, and we haven't heard that for sure,
officially. But then they said on ESPN, he was going to the hospital, and then they reported he didn't go to the hospital. So he did not need hospital attention. Right.
It just looked like his equilibrium was off. Like, I don't know, and his legs. I don't know that he could have got that punch off.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, but the fact that Mark Breland, who was a great fighter, is the one that threw it
in the corner. You know?
Makes me feel a little better, because Breland's been in those.
But Skip, if they panned, and he was looking at JD. He's like, are you
going to do this?
Yes, and he's just finally like,
and you got to know how hard that is to actually throw the towel for the team.
Maybe for the 12th round. But 7, he ain't coming. Because you had seen nothing in the previous 4 rounds that made you think he was going to be able to get off that one shot.
I just know he has the capability.
Yes.
He's got nuclear
So you think he's got a shot if they have a rematch? Because they're saying he's going to invoke the rematch.
Are they saying he is?
Well, it is not official, but the talk is that it looks like
they made 30.
I don't think he should go right away.
They made $30-40 million this fight.
Hey,
you gonna pass that up?
Yeah, well, that's a whole
thing. I don't think he can come right away.
But I'm
right
ready to see
Joshua.
I mean, I want to see
Joshua
fought afraid to me against Ruiz. Second fight, he didn't want to engage at all. No mercy.
The Lakers and Celtics came down to the wire yesterday. With 30 seconds left, LeBron hit a go-ahead fadeaway jump shot, and the Lakers went on to win. After the game, LeBron posted on Instagram saying, quote, "Absolutely live for those moments. I don't always come out as I would like, but I'll be right there again and again and again when it presents itself every single time, succeed or fail." How about that post?
Yep.
Shannon already celebrating over here, but I'm going to ask Chris his opinion. What did the post by LeBron, what did it tell you?
Chris, before you go, Chris, you know, Chris came out the pulpit just to say, just to say hello to old Goat James and old Club Shay Shay. Yeah, he was in the pulpit yesterday. Is it? So it was just, you just came by to say he didn't partake in
that. It was a good time there.
Yeah,
good
time. You just wanted to say hello.
Are you serious about this, or are you kidding?
The light can go off. Thank you. Chris.
Well, look, we know LeBron hears stuff, right? The hashtag Wash King, which I don't know who was calling him Wash, but he's taking
it. Yeah,
that.
I do.
He's Michael Jordan taking it
who
to
knows?
Another level. Oh, they saying I'm washed.
You know who said he was washed.
Nobody.
I don't know if he's saying Wash, but, you know. But anyway.
Like he needs to take a shower?
No, you know what I mean. Oh, what about the low lights you keep showing every time you get a chance to?
Well, we retired him.
People been saying he hasn't been closing since he got to L.A. Because there were close games last year, been some close games this year. Even with the Clippers, certainly Christmas Day, they outplayed them the first three quarters, or most of it, didn't close down the stretch. And the Clippers, one advantage people have given them over the Lakers is you got Lou, you got Kawhi, even you got Paul George. You know, you got guys that are going to close for sure.
I'll give you one. You got Lou.
is their close.
Oh, we Lou.
You hear that, though. I think LeBron's heard that. And I took this post as, all right, I hear you, and I'm taking the challenge. I'm accepting the challenge.
Really?
And I've always said about LeBron, obviously, he's closed games. I mean, playoff games, regular season games, we've seen that. But he doesn't have that Kobe, Michael Jordan closer mentality. Mm-hmm. His mentality is more, I think it's like Magic. Magic closed with the junior skyhook. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't typically Magic.
Nope. He didn't
do
that.
It was like, I'm going to make the right play.
I agree.
Sometimes it's for me to shoot. Sometimes it's not. So I was glad to see what LeBron did yesterday. And I really was glad that he didn't just settle for a deep three or go all the way to the hole, which is typically what he does, at least since he's been with the Lakers, when he's closing, is I'm taking this 27-footer or I'm going all the way to the rim.
No, it's mostly the former.
The 27-footer. Yeah. Occasionally, well, last year, when he got blocked, I can't even remember who that was.
Hazonia.
Do we have that?
No, we don't.
So I love him, though, that he went to the post against a good defender and then in the mid-range goes with the fadeaway, because that can – I typically like guys that big to go toward the hoop, but if LeBron can master that fadeaway like that, nobody's going to block that. I mean, Giannis is Giannis, but Kawhi, Paul George, nobody's going to be able to block that fadeaway at his size. So I love the fact that he did that rather than take a deep three or, you know, go to the hole. I also like the fact for the Lakers that in the fourth quarter, it was AD and LeBron. AD took six shots. Not only he was 1-for-6. Mm. But I just like him taking six shots.
He missed some easy layups.
He missed some layups. He obviously hit 5-for-7 free throws. So, and I think
and
it is imperative on them, yes, that AD begin taking a lot of the responsibility in the fourth. And obviously you saw LeBron take it on his shoulders with that move in the post. So I like that mentality from the Lakers, because that's what they're going to need to beat the Clippers.
Hey, you saw the one, Skip. He went, drove to the basket. Guy tried to knock it out of his hand. He recaptured it. Was up there so high, he just took his time like, then kissed it off the glass.
Did he get blocked?
No, he didn't get blocked. Stop doing that.
It's a clean block, too.
Oh, old dream. He had that dream shake on. Now,
who was that guy? Langford did that? Off the bench?
Chris, you weren't here. But Jaylen Brown dunked on him. Oh, man.
I remember that.
And somebody just would not let me live it down. the GOAT? Have the GOAT? I mean, Michael Jordan never got dunked on. I said, we're going to get it back. You know, we in school, somebody get you. Oh, I'm going to get you back. I said, GOAT, well, Jay.
You get him back by dunking on him.
No, I'm going to get the game winner. The game winner. Ooh, back in it. Because everybody watches. What, Skip, on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night? No, and look, we like the NBA. You and I watching because that's what we got to do. But everybody, they put this thing in prime time on the big network. And they watch Go Jay. They say, Jay, they say, Go, what you want? Because that's what they call him. Everybody, they don't nobody call him Bron. Everybody call him Go. Go, what you want? He say, give me the ball. He say, me or AD going to do this? He said, nah. So he got that thing. He threw a hand up like this. He skipped and started going to work. But you saw his smile. He said, I got it. I got it right where I want him. Because I've been spinning baseline all day.
Right.
Getting to the rack on him. And he going to think I'm going to go baseline this time. Now, Skip loved the dream shake. Because when Embiid hit LeBron with it in the All-Star game, he even showed it. Did you, Skip?
It was real. That was a dream shake. That was a real one.
And LeBron said, he said, oh, Skip, like this one. He said, Skip, you think Skip going to like this one? I said, he going to love it. Bam!
LeBron tried to shoot a fadeaway on the baseline in the All-Star game, and Giannis was all over it. And that started the ball rolling, right? That got him all heated.
And you see,
like, oh, you're going to do it that way.
Oh, yeah. And then when he got dunked on, I mean, when he dunked on LeBron, he, after the game, oh, that was, I dreamed of doing that. Ooh, that's my highlight moment. When LeBron hit that dream shake. Can we hit that dream shake? I want you to watch what Draylen Brown. Can we hit that? When LeBron hit that dream shake on him, watch what Draylen Brown does after this. Wonder he talked about it after the game. We got that cue to DJ. Oh, you drop. Watch it right here. Watch what he do with his head. Pick your head up. Pick your head up.
It's really not a dream shake. It's
dream.
Just a straight follow-up.
No,
that's
dream shake. No, it ain't, Skip. You know what a dream shake is.
Follow-up.
Look at it. He just dropped his head. Pick your head up.
Wait. Does Jaylen Brown look? Wait a second. Does he look faked out by this move? Do you think it caught him flat-footed?
No,
he's still all over the shot.
No, he ain't all over.
He's all over.
He was ready for it.
Ready for what?
Ready,
wiggle.
Okay.
That makes it.
Unless he go gadget and got another 3 feet in the arm length, he wasn't doing nothing with that.
Can I alert our viewers to the key point here? LeBron James is 3 inches taller than Jaylen Brown and outweighs him by 40 pounds.
Ooh.
40 pounds. This is Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. That's what that was. Watch what Tyson Fury does. That's Tyson Fury. And wait.
Nothing wrong with finesse.
Wait, he didn't attack him. He went the other way. He fell away.
No, guess what?
You know what? It was the classic LeBron runs from the free throw line, except he actually ran backwards because he said, I don't want to take him to the rack. I'll get fouled. I'll go miss another free throw because he just missed two big free throws.
So that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying, huh?
Did he not just miss two big free throws?
I thought he said that the reason Jaylen Brown was playing him to the baseline because he had been dropped.
He had done that a few times.
That all sounded good.
And they had fouled him on that.
Now, my high basketball IQ analysis of what just happened was LeBron had missed a key free throw at 3:18. He had missed another keyer free throw at 37 seconds. And he had gotten a huge break because the ball went off AD's fingertips out of bounds. It should have been Boston's ball going the other way. So he gets a second chance and second life, and he says, I don't want to attack him again because I don't want to go miss another free throw and be a point down. I'll just shoot the fadeaway because then they can't criticize me for shooting a three, but I'll shoot the fadeaway. And
but you criticized him for making a bucket.
Right. And that's the shot he takes, as you know, Skip.
But is that qualify as revenge for getting dunked on? It does not.
It's a game winner.
There was 30 seconds left in the game. Was it a walk-off?
It was a game winner.
He dunked on LeBron in the second quarter.
Okay. So that's a 6'6 guy dunking on 6'9 GOAT that you call him.
Yeah,
right?
We got
the
him
best
back.
Player on the
we
planet.
Paid him back.
You paid him back with a fadeaway jumper in which you went backwards from him. Why don't you take it into his grill?
But are you
Why don't you go dunk on him?
No, we
you're criticizing
it.
The fadeaway, Skip. Well, that was Michael Jordan's go-to move the whole second.
But when you have 3 inches and 40 pounds on somebody, just attack them. They can't stop you.
We did.
They can't stop you.
He had done that earlier, and he got fouled a couple times.
And they didn't call it.
Yep.
But that's what we, Skip, we got him right where we want.
Okay.
The man smile.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just smile.
And then we got to see this play one last time. Then what happens just a little bit later at 15.5 seconds left, Jaylen Brown tries to lob the ball to Jason Tatum, who is unstoppable, and KCP just goes and attacks him and fouls him.
KCP locked him up.
He rams him. He pushes him out of bounds.
No, he didn't.
And they don't call it. It's home cooking.
Everybody, loose ball.
That's a foul.
It's a loose ball.
Home cooking.
Loose ball. The little
foul. Pushed him away.
He pushed it too.
You can't get away with that. And then they tech Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
The nicest coach in the world. The nicest young man in the world. And they tech him.
Hold on. Was he out of coaching box?
Staples.
Was he out of the coaching box?
It's home cooking. It ended the game, basically.
Hey, LeBron, I don't know if you saw this. They were at the free throw line. And Frank Vogel had told Kyle Kuzma, take Jason Tatum. The Jason Tatum got it going for 18 in the second, 18 in the third. He had 37 points to start the fourth. He had it going. LeBron James looks at KCP and say, no, you take it. KCP's like, let me get the cuffs.
That's a great point you bring up. Why wouldn't the best player on the planet say, get out of my way, I got him? That's what Kawhi Leonard does every game. He says, I got him.
He's 28. Okay. And I don't know about every game.
Hold on.
There's a lot of games.
Did you see that Thursday before? Mm-hmm. When Marcus Smart was shoving Jason Tatum, and Jason Tatum was shoving Marcus Smart because they took turns putting foots in him.
Right.
Oh, really?
And I got one last question. Please. Why in every late game situation down the stretch yesterday afternoon, why did LeBron always opt to throw the ball in when Boston had to foul? Because he doesn't want to go shoot the free throws.
But is that not smart basketball? Yeah. He's not a great foul shooter. Let me get it to KCP or AD, somebody
that
shoots.
He's not a great foul shooter.
No, he knows. Let me get it to an 80% free throw shooter. That's just smart basketball.
How can you be the GOAT when you're a liability at the late game free throw line? I don't get it.
Easy.
Help me out.
When you hit that, when you hit an 18-foot fade away, after you put the dream shake move on it.
So I liked what he posted on IG because I thought it was open-hearted. I thought it was a look in the mirror. I thought it was acknowledging his flaws, saying, I live for these moments when, in fact, he lives in fear of a lot of these moments. But he's never been great at this. And he says, I'm not going to always do it. I won't always succeed. I'll fail. Right?
Yeah. But he said, now that's insecurities. Now, this is what Michael Jordan said in his commercial. Jordan says, I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeeded. That's a humble brag. LeBron said the same thing, and that's insecurities.
I do like that MJ quote.
But we all know, that Michael made shot after big shot after big shot, as opposed to this guy.
All I'm just saying is
missed shot after big shot.
Okay,
after
he's made. He's made as many as Michael.
No,
actually made more. A lot of people use Elias. I use Cornelius. You know, I get my facts from Cornelius, and they say,
wait, Cornelius Vanderbilt?
No, Cornelius Vanderbilt.
I love Cornelius. He's the namesake for my school.
I know he's the namesake, and nobody's talking about it. Are y'all gonna win any SEC games?
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe not.
You can't open up the MJ debate. We don't have enough time for it right now, Shannon.
Okay, turn your round.
No mercy.
Well, before being waived by the Lakers over the weekend, DeMarcus Cousins shared his opinion on LeBron James. Cousins recently went on Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes' podcast and said that he's even told LeBron that he should run for president one day. LeBron confirmed that Cousins had pitched him on the idea but laughed off the suggestion. Chris Broussard is back with us, but Skip, I want to start with you here because there kind of was a lot of reaction to this.
Huge reaction.
After we talked about it last week. What are you hearing now?
I'm close with a guy who is very close to LeBron. And this guy spent a lot of time with LeBron over All-Star Weekend in Chicago. And as soon as Shannon and I did this topic on Friday, this guy that I'm close to immediately texted me and he said, no. He's really considering this. And he was way, and it's got a lot of whys on the end of way before Boogie came out with it. And the guy I know said it's a plan of his, but not yet a goal. But he emphasized he's really, all caps, considering running for president of the United States. So we kicked it around. Mm-hmm. I told you I'm open to this because I could really see this happening. And I think he would have a chance to not only win, but to do very well in this position. I'd want to hear his platform. I'd want to hear a lot more. Obviously, his life and times would come under enormous scrutiny, and he would have to withstand the scrutiny, but probably he could. And in the end, I think he would have a real shot here. And I'm not talking about next year. I'm talking about down the line. I don't know.
32, something like that.
Somewhere. Yeah. I just think we saw Ronald Reagan as an actor get elected, and then you've brought up all the other guys who became various governors.
Steve Largent.
Yes, Steve
athlete.
Largent. There's a good one.
Bill Bradley is the most well-known. He even ran for president.
He did.
The great New York
Knicks. There's a history of this, and it's a pretty strong history. So I wanted to bounce this off Mr. Broussard, who has covered LeBron almost from the start and is very close to a lot of people around LeBron. Your gut feeling on this?
Well, I'm being told, like you said, I'm close to his camp and everybody, that they're saying, they're denying this, that, you know, there's any thought of running for president, that he's talked seriously at all about it. And even denying that it would appeal to him. You know, just the foreign policy, dealing with all of that.
And by the way, the other day when he was asked about it, he pretty much scoffed at it.
Right. Now, so that's what they're saying. Hmm. My personal feeling, I do feel like LeBron could run for president. Well, I don't know if he'll run, but I think he'd be a really good candidate. Mm-hmm. And I think he'd be a good president. And I'm talking like 12, 16, 20 years from now. And look, after he everything looks like he's going to go forward and be this great business mogul when he's done, maybe he'll own a team. Owning a team, being a business mogul, you're going to deal with other countries and nations and things like that. So maybe, who knows, over time, it will appeal more to him. I have an interesting story because, as you know, I did maybe 5 or 6 cover stories on LeBron for ESPN the magazine early in his career. I did a lot of stuff with him. You know his story. From 5th grade to 8th grade, he lived with another family, family of one of his best friends in Akron. Mm-hmm. And I talked to them many times. The father of that family told me a story that when LeBron was 6th or 7th grade, I think it was 7th grade, the father's father, so I guess he's in the position of a grandfather, went to pick LeBron up from junior high school that day. The principal comes out to meet the grandfather and says to him, "This kid," meaning LeBron, "could be president of the United States one day." Now, this is when LeBron's in 7th grade, so I don't know what year, mid-90s, whatever that is. Yeah, that's the appeal he has. And I think he'd be a great candidate. I mean, as you said, now with President Trump, I mean, it's kind of opened it up where you can see a lot of people becoming president that you thought before you had to be like a lifelong or at least a long-time politician.
Or in the military. You had military background. You were a general like Eisenhower or something like that.
But he leans left, but he's very strong on family values, and he's an example of that. That would appeal to people on the right. He's a straight-up entrepreneur and a straight-up capitalist, which would appeal to people on both sides of the aisle. So, and he's been, his life experience, a lot of people can relate to. Obviously, we've seen a ton of athletes go rags to riches, but not the way he has in terms of all that he's become beyond being just an athlete. That's unique. So he's been poor and now he's incredibly wealthy.
Right.
He's been, you know, he's black and been underprivileged, but now he lives a very privileged life. Like, I think he could, and I said, he's a straight up capitalist. He could relate to, a lot of people could relate to his story. And I actually, if LeBron runs, I don't know that he will ever run, but I really believe if he ran, that he would win.
Agreed.
What about your boy on the ticket, VP?
Okay, now, you could be a detriment now.
You know, I don't see it happening because, look, you open yourself, you subject yourself for scrutiny that's unwarranted. You know, maybe he says something.
It's warranted for this.
Right.
One thing I'd also say, though, look, every year or every election cycle, the bar for personal, not that his behavior, we know his personal behavior isn't bad, but it's lower and lower.
No.
I mean, look at Trump's back.
No, it's lower for them. It's not lower for us.
That's fair.
Because we gave him the perfect candidate in 2008. And when they couldn't find nothing, they said he was from another country. Because there's no way a black man can live in America for this long.
I agree. You're correct.
No, the bar is lower for
them. Maybe in 16, 20 years.
Yeah, okay. I just don't see it happening, Skip. Anything's possible. Because at the end of the day, for the most part, what is elections about? It's about popularity. You become a senator, you become a governor, you become a mayor. If people like you. Skip, we can do all this foreign policy and this and that. At the end of the day, do I like the guy I'm voting for? Do I like the guy, do I like the lady or he or him or her? Do I like them? That's what it comes down to.
Can they make our country better?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah. If he ran, you think he'd win?
A lot of times when you run for political office, it also who you're running against. That has a lot to do with it.
And timing does, because you're coming off what? What was the previous regime?
I think President Obama's administration gave rise to President Trump's administration. Because here's the thing, the pendulum swung so far. They're like, no, we got to come back. So now we got to swing it way back over here. So now they want to come back to the middle somewhere.
Timing.
So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how that plays out.
It's all about when he would elect to Iran. And I just think,
all I know is I'm getting the role, because homeboy's getting the White House now. You don't need no qualification. So I can get, I can hold a role.
That is what it seems like.
So I'm getting the role.
That's a good point. I don't know. I'd like to be involved in this.
You want to be communication
director? Welcome to the White House.
Because we can't have you talking bad to the president.
Well, I know what would happen. I would get audited.
We digging in the books.
Yep.
I don't know when you got your first job, but we going all the way back.
Be ready. Yeah, that's definitely the case.
I'm thinking about it, though.
I think I would vote for him. Again, I got to hear it, but I think he could do this.
I think he'd be great. I'm being told definitively, no way.
Yeah.
But I think he could win.
We got a small role for you too, Chris. We got a small role.
He would want to do it. It's fun to think about.
Always did want to go.
All right, Chris, thank you for your insight there. I did enjoy the president story from the principal.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.